for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2017 Labor Day Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, September the 2nd, 2017. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the service teaching on Yokes of Bondage.
I guess we're just supposed to start, huh? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. How many are getting some freedom?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. You know, I've been coming here for 20 years, and every time I go home, I'm better. Anyway, I thank the Lord for deliverance. And you know, a lot of times I don't even know what I get delivered from, but I get delivered of something. Plus, when I go home, I do self-deliverance all the time. Praise you, Lord. Father, we just come before your throne, and we thank you for your the way you bless us. We thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. We thank you that you're our King, our God, our Savior, our Deliverer. You're our all in all. And Father, we just pray that every day we'll decrease more so that you might increase more in our lives, so that Christ will be formed in us. Thank you, Lord, that you, who begun a good work in us, will perform it into the day of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we can be confident of that very thing. We thank you, Lord, that we're overcomers in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that every area of our lives where we have been defeated, we will be victorious in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you, Lord Jesus, have spoiled principalities and powers, making an open show of them at Calvary. Thank you that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, those in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, we ask you to cover us with the blood of Jesus. We pray, Father, for the truth that sets us free. I ask you to reveal every yoke of bondage working in our lives, in Jesus' name. Father, we just pray that we'll be only, when we leave this place, we'll only be under your yoke, which is light and easy, so that we can find rest for our soul. We thank you and praise you, Lord. Lord, we just loose your ministering angels into this place, whatever kind of angel we need. Lord, we just cover us with the blood of Jesus. We ask you to bring down your kingdom upon this place and upon our lives. We pray to be filled and empowered by your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Father, we bind and break every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, satanic ritual spoken over this place, spoken over Marilyn, Barbara, and Patty, and Kevin, and over Linda, over Rick, over Dan and Crystal and their children, over all of our lives, over the lives of our children, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you and praise you. We lift up the people in Houston and in that area, Lord, that are suffering from that hurricane in the name of Jesus. We ask you to cover them with the blood of Jesus. We ask you to comfort them. We pray that any that are not rescued, that you'll send forth your angels to put a blanket around them to keep them warm. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we break the power of every electromagnetic field that's been sent toward the Gulf that would cause a hurricane. In the name of Jesus, we cover the state of Texas and Louisiana and Arkansas and all of our states with the blood of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that we can be hidden in the cleft of the rock. We thank you that you're our refuge and our strength. We thank you that we can dwell in your secret place and abide under your shadow and under your protection. We thank you that you win. You've already won the victory for us. In Jesus' name, we bind the strong man over every life. We bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places, from this place, from our lives. And Lord, we loose on us the fear of the Lord, the conviction of sin, and the truth that sets us free. In Jesus' name. Lord, you said if we abide in your word, that we're truly your disciples, and we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for what you're going to do today. In Jesus' name. Well, this message, I think, will be short, but who knows? You never know what God's going to do when you say, God, I can't do this. You have to do it. Amen? Amen. But it's called yokes of bondage. And, you know, a yoke, the purpose of a yoke is for subjection or servitude. You know, like oxen are yoked up with a physical yoke, a wooden physical yoke, or you see mules yoked up. But today we're going to talk about spiritual yokes that you cannot see with the human eye. One of the major causes of neck problems. You got the wrong yoke on your neck. You know you have the wrong yoke on your neck if your life is, if you're living a life of unrest. Because the yoke of Jesus, where he says in Matthew 11, 28 and 29, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble, and you shall find rest for your soul, for my burden is light and my load is easy. And so his load is easy that we learn from him. When we wear his yoke, our life produces the character and nature of Jesus. Any other yoke that we wear produces the fruit of the flesh, which is the character and nature of Satan. As Nikki said, and even Randy said, you're either serving God or you're serving the devil. You either wear the yoke of Jesus or you're wearing a yoke of bondage that brings fear into your life, causes your life to be dominated by a spirit of fear. And so Jesus said for us to come unto him, and a yoke is a picture of subjection or servitude. It's a picture of being under the control of something else or someone else. And as I said, we either wear the yoke of Jesus or we wear the yoke of bondage. And so how do we wear the yoke of Jesus? Other words for wearing the yoke of Jesus is present your body to God as a living sacrifice. Another one is in John 12, give up your life that you might find it. Another one is deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow the Lord. Another one is walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And 1 Peter says that if we arm ourselves with the same purpose that as Christ suffered in the flesh, so we'll suffer in the flesh, for in suffering sin loses its power. And so another word, a way of saying wearing the yoke of Jesus is to come under God's control, to be on the potter's wheel. He's the potter and we're the clay. And the potter does all the work, and the clay rests on the potter's wheel. And that's a picture of wearing the yoke of Jesus. And we've all had many yokes, all of us. In the spirit, we're born with yokes from our parents, from the generations before us. We're born with yokes. We have people, parents put yokes on us. Perfectionism is a yoke. Thinking that I have to always perform, that's a yoke. There's self-inflicted yokes, but we're going to talk about different yokes that are mentioned in the Bible, but they're all yokes of bondage and they're all yokes of Satan. The fruit produced by the yoke of Jesus is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. And so whenever we're not wearing the yoke of Jesus, there's a bondage that brings us into addictions, because if we have the yoke of Jesus on, we have self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit. It's the character and nature of Jesus. And so so addictions would be another manifestation of wearing the wrong yoke. King James says yoke of bondage. New American Standard says a yoke of slavery, which is the same thing. The fruit produced by any other yoke other than the yoke of Jesus is the fruit of the flesh. In Galatians 5:19, it says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality would be lewdness or wantonness, idolatry is loving anything more than you love Jesus, and you know you have an idol if you get angry when you don't get it. Uh-oh. You have any anger crop up ever? You know, we get angry because we want our own way, because we want everyone else to love our idol as much as we do. You know you have an idol when you fear you won't get it, or if you have it, you fear you'll lose it. You know it's idolatry when you're in depression. In fact, 1 Samuel 15:23 says that all iniquity is as idolatry. It's all witchcraft. And so the other day I was listening to CDs, old CDs by Charles and Francis Hunter, and they were amazing people. I always judged them as being kind of flaky, but I was listening to them and seeing how the love they had for the Lord caused a lot of things they were saying credible. Because I don't believe I've ever listened to two people that I felt loved the Lord anymore and how they worked together as a team. But the strange thing is how they met each other. They never met. They never had a date. They never knew each other. They never met each other. But I guess somehow God told them they were to marry each other. And so she met him at the airport with a bow on her head that said, "Gift from God to Charles." Anyway, they didn't even know. They passed each other up because they didn't recognize each other because they'd never seen each other. But one thing she said, in all of the years they were married, when I heard this, they'd been married 17 years. They had never had an argument in 17 years. And David said, David and I were talking, well, how's that possible? Because they were so sold out to the Lord, that was all they were interested in, was God's way. You know, if you're married and I want my way and you want your way, hey, there's a problem. But if we both can agree that it's God's way, there shouldn't be an argument. And if your main focus is to serve God with your whole heart, you live to please Him, I can see how that would be true. Now, I never have been blessed to be in that kind of a relationship because I probably wanted my own way too much. But anyway, thank God, hindsight, I'm a happy widow now. Anyway, I don't have anybody to fight with anymore except David, and we never fight. My grandson, all caps. What a blessing he is to my life. And so idolatry is loving anything more than you love Jesus. Sorcery, which is pharmakia, witchcraft, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, you know, just quarreling and fighting, envying, wanting what someone else has, drunkenness. You know, there's a physical drunkenness and there's also a spiritual drunkenness. The physical drunkenness, we all know it's from alcohol or from drugs, and I've been drunk on food. How many of you know that food can make you drunk? Make you feel bad. I don't like that feeling. But also there's a physical drunkenness, but there's also a spiritual drunkenness. And you see this in a lot of the moves that they're calling revival. I've seen people, and some of you have seen people that were so drunk in the spirit they couldn't even stand up. I've seen them so drunk in the spirit that they couldn't even get up off the floor, never having a drop of alcohol. And that's a judgment that God pours out on spiritual harlotry or spiritual adultery. If you do a word study on wine, new wine, drunk, drunken, sober, alert, you'll see there's not one scripture in the Word of God that backs up that is a work of God. It's actually a judgment from God He pours out on the harlot. And the harlot is a person that prays the prayer to receive Jesus, a spiritual harlot, and their heart goes after another lover. And so drunkenness is also a fruit of the flesh. God says, be sober for the purpose of prayer. I've written a little book up there called Drunkenness, Is It a Blessing or a Curse? I gave that book to Ronnie and Diane Biggio couple of weeks ago when I was in Louisiana. And Ronnie called me. He said, you need to promote that book more. But I said, it's not a very popular book because most people are involved in all of this drunken stuff. And I'm going to tell you, it's not God. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's the unholy spirit. Drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, so it's not an all-conclusive list, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It's not a one-time sin. It's a practice, a habit, a custom, a lifestyle. If someone were to describe you, would they say you're that kind of a person? And the Bible warns you that if you practice these things, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. Because it's all rebellion. Because when you're submitted to the lordship of Jesus, you have on the yoke of Jesus. And when your life is producing the fruit of the flesh, that's the character and nature of Satan, and that's the fruit of the flesh, and it's the fruit of wearing the wrong yoke. There's only peace and rest in wearing the yoke of Jesus. It's light, it's easy, you find rest for your soul. His burden is light and his load is easy. And besides that, he teaches you everything you need to know. And some manifestations of the wrong yoke is, as I said, unrest. If you live in a state of unrest, it's like you're on a treadmill all the time. You can never rest, never be at peace. It's a wrong yoke. And it actually occurs in Deuteronomy 28, where it lists the blessings and the curses. It says you'll find no resting place. One of the curses is you'll find no resting place for the sole of your feet. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing eyes, and despair of soul. And I can tell you that failing eyes is a curse. Despair of soul, a trembling heart. That can be heart palpitations. A trembling heart. Despair of soul. Unrest. So living a life of unrest is you're under a curse because the blessing is wearing the yoke of Jesus. And if you're not wearing the yoke of Jesus, you're under a curse. You're in rebellion. Another thing is neck problems. A lot of people have neck problems, a stiff neck, or, you know, maybe they're stubborn and they're stiff neck, or maybe they have neck problems because somebody has put a yoke on their neck that's ruling, shaving, and annoying. The yoke of Jesus is light and easy, but a yoke of bondage, a yoke to subject a person to servitude is a picture of being under the control of another person or another thing. And so neck problems is a manifestation of having the wrong yoke on your neck. Another thing is you look and act like the people who control you. Now, you know, in a godly marriage, because of a husband and wife are one flesh, you can see in a good godly soul tie how that husbands and wives begin to look like each other after years. My mom and dad were married 60 years and they looked alike. And that's because of a healthy, good soul tie. But when you let somebody control you, contrary to the word of God, and I'm not talking about being rebellious to authority because God wants you to submit to authority as unto the Lord. When we're at this camp, we submit to Patty and Kevin and Meryl and Barbara. We submit to them as unto the Lord. And in a marriage, we're to submit to our husbands as unto the Lord. But praise God, we don't have to obey demons. You know, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they obey me and they'll not follow the voice of a stranger. That word stranger in the Greek means the voice of another. Any voice that doesn't line up with the word of God is the voice of a stranger. Would you agree?
Amen.
And there's many scriptures to back that up. You know, they told the disciples, the Pharisees told the disciples that they couldn't teach in the name of Jesus. And they said, we have to obey God rather than men. In the case of Ananias and Sapphira, Ananias was killed because the Lord struck him down because he lied against the Holy Spirit. And then Peter goes and talks to his wife and he says, is it true that you agreed with your husband to do this thing, to sell the property for a certain price and lie about it? And she said yes. And he said, well, the Lord's going to carry your body out. In other words, the Lord killed her. Because she agreed to disobey the Lord. And so we need to obey as unto the Lord. My sheep, Jesus said, hear my voice, and they obey me, and they'll not follow the voice of a stranger. That's the voice of another. You know, if Josiah speaks Jesus to me, I wouldn't dare not listen. So we need to listen to what voice is speaking through somebody. Another thing is rebellion, because any yoke that's not the yoke of Jesus is in rebellion. We'll be dominated by fear. It says in Romans 8:13, sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, for we have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but we've received the spirit whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. So we're either walking in the Spirit, under the yoke of Jesus, or we have a yoke of bondage which causes our life to be dominated by a spirit of fear. And if you're a person out there that your whole life is dominated by fear, you have the wrong yoke on. It's a yoke of bondage. Praise God you can get it off. Praise God you can have the yoke of Jesus that's light and easy, that brings rest for your soul. You know, Jesus said, my peace, he said, I'll keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed upon me because you trust me. You're trusting in me. The word disease comes from two French words, dis-ease. And so any area you could say your life or your body is not in peace opens you up to sickness and disease. Another is addictions. If there's no law when our life is producing the fruit of the Spirit, there is a law when our life is not producing the fruit of the Spirit. And that law, when we get put under another law, then if our body craves whatever our addiction is. But when we have the fruit of the Spirit, there's self-control. There's no control, or we're out of control whenever we don't have on the yoke of Jesus. Another manifestation is a perverse spirit, which is an unteachable, ungovernable spirit, and a lot of times it'll manifest if you've got scoliosis. That's a perverse spirit. That's one of the roots of a scoliosis, is a perverse spirit, which is a crooked spirit. It's a picture of a person walking crooked, and you may have that and never have walked crooked, but you could come out of generations of perverse forefathers. So we always have to deal with generational iniquities of the forefathers, because the Bible says the sins of the fathers pass on to the children to the third and fourth generation. Another manifestation is stubbornness. I remember I was teaching a seminar in California, and I was teaching, I don't know what I was teaching on, but a crook, this man, all of a sudden, I could see in the congregation his neck. He had a crick in his neck. And afterwards, he came up and he said, I said, you got a crick in your neck. He said, yeah. I said, have you ever been stubborn, stiff-necked? He said, I have been the most stubborn person you'll ever meet. And so the next day, I took him through deliverance, and I just went through a concordance on all the scriptures on stubborn, stiff-necked, led him in repentance of each one. When I got down to there was one scripture left, and I kept saying, how's your neck, man? He said, better, it's better, it's better. He got down to the last one. He said, just a little place right there. And when I led him in repentance of that last scripture, his neck was totally healed. And so it's a stubborn spirit. You know, a lot of times if you have a physical problem, just do a word study and begin repenting over the word, because the Bible says he sent his word to heal you. His word. You know, Jesus is the word of God. And when you read the Word of God, you create the presence of Jesus. His Word is like a fire and like a hammer that breaks rock. And then I'm sure there are other manifestations. And here are some yokes that are listed in the Word of God. And basically, they're all yokes of Satan. If they're not the yoke of Jesus, they're yokes of Satan, no matter what you call the yoke. But it's called different things in the Word of God. There's an iron yoke in Deuteronomy 28:48, and it says Deuteronomy 28:15 says, because of disobedience to the voice of God and his commandments, God says, I'll put an iron yoke on your neck, therefore you shall serve your enemies. And Paul said your enemies are not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. You'll serve your enemies whom the Lord shall send against you. So many times we blame things on the devil when God's the one that sends the thing. It says, whom the Lord will send against you, in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, in the lack of all things. Now, that's just the opposite of Matthew 6:33 that says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So when we don't seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, guess what? We have hunger, we have thirst, we have nakedness, and the lack of all things, and he will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. So you see that any yoke that's not the yoke of Jesus will end up destroying you. And we have yokes put on us by other people. There's self-inflicted yokes. Some of the heaviest yokes I've had have been expectations I have of myself. Or if you grow up in a perfectionistic family, they have certain standards. In other words, you receive a lie that to be loved, you have to perform. And so God does not want us to wear any yokes but the yoke of Jesus. And fear of man, you know, we'll wear somebody else's yoke. We'll let people control us. And the scripture says, fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord will be exalted. You know, I could just talk to some of you, and I could tell if you're a man, is how you grew up, were you dominated, were you controlled, just by a person's demeanor. In 1 Kings, King how do you say that word,
Rehoboam,
that's it, thank you. King Rehoboam, some people came to him and said to him in 1 Kings 12:4, your father made our yoke hard. Now therefore lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke which he has put on us, and we will serve you. And of course he got counsel from the elders that said, yeah, I'll give them their desire. And then he got counsel from his renegade rebellious friends, and they said, you know, just make their yokes harder. And so Rehoboam answered by saying, my father put a hard yoke on you, and I'm going to add to that yoke and make it harder. And he disciplined you with whips, and I'm going to discipline you with scorpions. But I read the scripture to show you that we can put yokes on people. And then through control, we'll be conformed to the image of whoever controls us. You know, if I controlled you for so long, you'll begin to look like me and act like me just through control. I've seen this through people that have come out of satanic ritual abuse. I'm thinking of a girl that used to be in the ministry. I mean, she would take on the personalities of whoever controlled her. And so when you do that, you get the demons to a certain soul tie. To the soul tie, you get the demons, you get the mental problems, you get the addictions, you get the demons, you get the familiar spirits. You get the mental problems, the emotional problems of whoever controls you through a soul tie. And that's a whole different teaching. I'm not teaching on soul ties today, but if you want to hear that, you can go to youtube.com and hear a message that I've done on soul ties on youtube.com, and I think they have it here at Lake Hamilton. And so through control, we'll be conformed into the image of whoever controls us. In Romans 8:28, it says that everything works together for good to those that love the Lord, to the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. So the purpose of every trial that we go through, God wants to use that trial to conform us into the image of Christ. And people will confess that scripture, everything works together for good to those that love the Lord. It doesn't unless you let it conform you to the image of Christ, because that's the purpose of the trial. The purpose of the trial is to conform you into the image of Christ, and it will work for your good if you let it conform you into the image of Christ. Most people don't deal with their issues, the issues of their heart. They don't know to go to God. A lot of times people don't go to God because they had a poor image of God through their mother or father. But God is a perfect father image. He's nothing like your mother and father. He loves for you to run and jump in his lap. He loves for you to ask him everything. And the more you ask him, the happier you're going to be. And there's a yoke of pride. Psalm 73 says, therefore, pride is their necklace. And that's like a spiritual necklace. The imaginations of their heart run riot. The garment of violence covers them, and their eye bulges out with fatness. And that's one of the roots to glaucoma, is pressure, where your eyes swell out. The Lord showed me several months ago, because I was diagnosed with glaucoma when I went in to have my eye surgery. And, of course, the eye drops they gave me, the side effects of those two little drops that put in my eyes would cause your eyes to be puffy, baggy, puffy, muscle weakness, and all kinds of side effects. And so one day, and I've never seen myself as a fearful person, but I was in the kitchen, and I was thinking my secretary had not been well and been missing a lot of work, and I was saying, oh, Lord, what am I going to do if she can't work, or if I lose her, what will I do? And I thought, you're in fear. And the Lord showed me that one of the roots of glaucoma is we get under stress. And I said, Lord, I don't know when I'm stressing, but if you'll tell me, because stress is just fear, and it's really pride that causes our eyes to bulge out. You know, Psalm 73, it says their eyes bulge out with fatness, which means they cause their eyes to swell out, pressure in the eyes. And I just said, Lord, I don't know when when I'm stressing out. I don't even realize it. If you'll tell me, I'll just let it go. Because Jesus said if you let go of your life, you'll find it. You hold on to your life, you lose it. So I said, I'll just let go. When I'm in stress and I don't realize it, you just show me, Lord, and I will repent. And when I went in to have the pressure check the next time, the pressure was normal. But the Lord told me to not take that. And I was thinking, the last two times I've come to camp, my eyes were just bagging out of my it was terrible. I look in the mirror and I think, where did all these bags come from? And it was from the eye drops. But anyway, I was thinking a few days ago, I thought, oh, you don't have as many bags as you did last time you were here because I wasn't using the eye drops. Anyway, you have to be concerned about those things when you get my age. I'm just teasing. It's all vanity. It's all pride. There's a yoke of fear, and we already talked about that in Romans 8:13. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, for we have not received the Spirit leading to fear again, but we've received the Spirit whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. And you know, some of you have been in cults, and some of you have been in fraternities, and some of you have been in lodges, and some of you have been in masons and occultic things, and that's a yoke. I can tell you, when Randy told of the Catholic Church, that's a yoke, a huge yoke. And I'm not sure, but doesn't all religions someplace back there come out of Catholicism, Randy?
Everything comes out of Babylon.
But isn't that like all the religions, all of our religions?
Mother of Harlots.
Yes. Mother of Harlot Church. So the yoke of fear. Jesus came to break our yokes. It says in Isaiah 9:4. You shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff of their on your shoulders. The rod of their oppressor as in the battle of Midian. For unto us a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government. And Lord, we ask you to increase your government in our lives. The yoke will be broken because of fatness, the scripture says. And fatness is an ingredient or something that is a special endowment of the Holy Spirit that breaks off the yokes. And the yoke of Jesus will break off every other yoke. When we come under his control, it'll break off every other yoke. Lamentation, also spiritual adultery brings a yoke. And Catholicism is spiritual adultery. I mean, any church member that claims to be a believer and their heart goes after other lovers, they're committing spiritual adultery. Because Jesus is going to be our bridegroom. And that brings a yoke. The whole book of Lamentations is on the spiritual harlot. In Lamentations 1:14, it says, the yoke of my transgressions has me bound by his hand. They are knit together. They have come upon my neck. He has made my strength fail. Now, God's done that. God has made my strength fail because of spiritual adultery, having another God. The Lord has given me into the hands of those against whom I'm unable to stand. The Lord has done that. It's not a devil made me do it kind of thing. Also, hardness of heart. In Hosea 10, God tells us to break up the fallow ground, which is ground that's laid waste and hardened. And you know, you're a spiritual garden. Did you know that? Mark 4. Luke 8, Matthew 13 says your soil. Genesis says your dirt. And so you're a spiritual garden. And so it tells us in Hosea 10 that we're to break up the fallow ground. In other words, we're to break up the soil of our heart through repentance. And the parable of the sower gives four different kinds of soil. Is the soil where the seed falls beside the road. That represents people that hear the word, I don't believe it. The second soil is the seed that's sown on among thorns and thistles, and it goes on to say that the worries and cares and pleasures, the desire for other things, choke out the word. And then there's the seed of God's word that's sown on hard ground. And the minute a circumstance comes up where he realizes he has to die to his flesh suffers, and he falls away because he don't want to walk the narrow way. And then the last soil is the soil that receives the seed and bears fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. So God tells us to make our soil like the good soil in the parable of the sower, that good sandy loam kind of soil that would grow anything. I used to live in Lavernia, Texas, and you could just drop a seed, a redbud seed on the ground, and you'd have a redbud tree. In just a few weeks, you'd have a little redbud tree come up. And so God wants us to make the soil of our heart so pliable that it receives the good seed of God's word. So in Hosea, it says that we're to break up the fallow ground, and it says that Ephraim, which is another word for Israel, it's another word for the church. It means double fruit. It's what the word Ephraim means, producing fruit for the Lord and fruit for the devil. And you see that's kind of the way the church is. Shouldn't be that way. The true church is going to be overcoming. I totally agree with Nikki's message and with Randy's message. I mean, we're going to be overcomers. And it's the promises of God are not to be overcome. And all of us have things to overcome, every last one of us. But it says Ephraim is a trained heifer. He loves to thresh. That means he likes to tramp down his garden and make it harder. He likes to harden his heart. But it says Judah plows, and Judah means pray. And then it says Jacob harrows, which means levels out the clods. And so, but he describes Ephraim as someone that likes to make the soil of his heart harder instead of plowing it up and making it good soil. And it says that we're to sow with a view to righteousness so that we can reap in accordance with kindness. So whatever you plant in your spiritual garden is what's going to come up. If you plant perversion, you're going to get perversion. You plant love and you're going to have love. You plant, you saturate yourself with the wrong kind of movies and demonic movies, demonic music, evil, and you're planting seeds in your garden that's going to produce the wrong kind of fruit. You've heard the saying, garbage in and garbage out. So whatever you plant in your spiritual garden is the kind of fruit that's going to bear in your garden. You know what kind of seed has been planted by looking at the fruit. If perversion is growing in your spiritual garden, maybe you've been looking at pornography, or maybe you've been into adultery. You've got soul ties with the wrong kinds of people. And so out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. Out of the mouth, in other words, the words that come out of our mouth come from the heart, the soil, the garden of our heart. And so you know what kind of seed's been planted by listening to what comes out of somebody's mouth or what they have up in their throat life. But Ephraim likes to make his garden hard. Judah plows it up, and Jacob harrows it. Then there's the yoke of the Pharisees, which is the religious people. And how many of you know that the church is full of religious people? Jesus said he didn't come for those that thought they were so good. He came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Sometimes it's hard to tell a church member something because they think they know it all. And but Jesus said that he came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. A lot of times in the kind of business that I have a dog kennel on the side, and I have people that God sends the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and I can tell them about Jesus, and they receive. But sometimes trying to tell a church member something, they don't receive. And so God wants us to be teachable. In Acts 15:10, Peter rebuked the Pharisees. He rebuked the religious folk, and he said, "Now, therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear?" Because if somebody's putting a yoke on your neck and trying to control you, and they have this list of things that you have to line up to perform for, that's ruling, shaping, it's annoying, and it's a yoke that we're not able to bear. The only yoke that our neck fits is the yoke of Jesus. And God tells us to be freedom, calls us to freedom from bondage. Galatians 5:1 says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not subject yourself again to a yoke of slavery. He breaks the slavery off of our lives when we come to Christ. He translates us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And he's saying, don't go back to slavery. Jesus' yoke breaks all other yokes. And God tells us to take it upon us and learn from him. In Matthew, and our commission as disciples, is Isaiah 58:6 says, is this the fast which I choose, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? And that's one of the things that we do in deliverance. That's one of the things you do in healing. A lot of times when you're healed, demons leave, and sometimes when demons leave, you're healed. And so praise God, he wants us to walk in divine health. He says in 3 John, beloved, I want above all that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. And as your soul prospers in the Lord, your health will prosper, Tom, and all of us. If we all are needed, we are needed of physical healing, God says it's going to take a prospering soul. And can I tell you, you can't get a prospering soul watching Christian TV. You actually can get demons. And I don't know who was talking about, I guess it was Nikki, talking about the millions of dollars. If they really believed this principle they try to put on people to give to their ministry, they'd be out giving money to the people that's watching them. Right? So, if you really want to serve God, there's no money in the ministry. Unless you want to manipulate people. And if you really have a heart of Jesus, you're not going to manipulate people. You're going to trust God. Okay, well, why don't you stand up and let's get these yokes off your neck and let's all receive the yoke of heaven. Father, in the name of Jesus, show me every person that's put a yoke on my neck, every group, every organization, every pastor, every person that has controlled me. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me for my own expectations of myself. Forgive me for putting a yoke on myself and trying to toe the mark. That's legalism. So I ask you, Lord, to search my heart, test my thoughts, show me every yoke I have on my neck that's not the yoke of Jesus. Because, Lord, I want your yoke, which is light and easy. I want to enter your rest. I want to live a life of stress-free, a life of rest. So show me everything I need to repent of. And I ask, Lord, for the truth that sets me free. And then if you'll sit down when you're through, and then we'll do group deliverance. Lord, I forgive any person who's ever yoked me up in a satanic ritual, or yoked my forefathers up in a satanic ritual. Lord, I break the yokes of Catholicism, of cults, of groups, of Freemasonry, witchcraft, all bondage. Forgive me for rebellion, stubbornness. Forgive me for letting other people control me. Forgive me for not walking in an upright manner.
Walking crookedly.
God, forgive me for not allowing my life to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control, which there is no law. And Father, because I haven't had self-control, I've had on the wrong yoke. Because I haven't lived a life of rest and peace, I've been under a curse of no resting place for the sole of my feet, a trembling heart, failing eyes, and despair of soul. Father, forgive me for fear of man that has allowed me and caused me to let other people control me. I forgive my parents for their control. I forgive them for their perfectionism. I forgive them, Lord, for making me nervous through their making me performance-oriented or perfectionistic in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask you to forgive me for disobedience to the voice of your commandments, which would cause you to put an iron yoke on my neck until I'm destroyed. Cause me to serve my enemies in hunger and thirst and nakedness and the lack of all things, and you to put an iron yoke on my neck until I'm destroyed. In the name of Jesus, forgive me for putting yokes on myself. Forgive me for having a religious spirit. Forgive me for being a Pharisee, only dealing with my outward appearance and not dealing with my inward heart. Forgive me for fear. Forgive me for letting other people control me. Forgive me for listening to the wrong voice, the voice of a stranger. Forgive me for a necklace of pride. Forgive me for pride, haughtiness, arrogance, condescending upon others. Forgive me for giving people the impression that I've arrived and that I don't need any help, but I need to help everybody else. Lord, give me a humble heart. Forgive me, Lord. Take off, Lord. I take off this necklace of pride. The garment of violence, which is the garment of the attire of a harlot, which has caused the imaginations of my heart to run riot and my eyes to bulge out with fatness, in Jesus' name. And Lord, forgive me for stressing. Forgive me for fear, putting myself under pressure, which is called glaucoma. It's called excessive pressure in my eyes. In the name of Jesus. Lord, forgive me for not walking in the Spirit so that I'll be a son of God by crucifying my flesh. Forgive me for receiving a spirit of slavery that's caused my life to be dominated by a spirit of fear. In the name of Jesus, I strip off that yoke of slavery, that yoke of bondage, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord,
that you came to set me free. You are a wonderful counselor, Almighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Forgive me for being like Ephraim, double-minded, tramping down my garden instead of breaking up the fallow ground. Forgive me for spiritual adultery, harlotry. I renounce the bondage of the Catholic Church, the bondage of any cult or organization, fraternity, sorority, any person group, people group that's controlled me in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask you to unyoke this yoke of this transgression has me bound and knit together by your hand. I ask you to release that off of me in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to give me strength in Jesus' name. After causing my strength to fail because of spiritual harlotry and spiritual adultery, forgive me for hardening my heart and not being grateful and praising, being like Judah to praise and Jacob to harrow in the name of Jesus. I just break the yoke of Ephraim off my neck in Jesus' name. I break the yoke of iron, the yoke of pride. In the name of Jesus. I break the yoke of the Pharisees in Jesus' name. Forgive me for putting people under my yokes. Forgive me for trying to control others according to my desire. Forgive me for not letting other people have the freedom to fail. Forgive me, Lord, for being a Pharisee. Forgive me for pride. Forgive me, Lord, for not standing firm, and forgive me for subjecting myself again to a yoke of slavery after you set me free. Lord, I break off every yoke, and I come under your yoke. Lord, I present my body to you as a living sacrifice. I offer to you my members as instruments of righteousness in the name of Jesus.
Father,
I choose to walk in the Spirit. I choose to arm myself with the same purpose that as you suffered in the flesh, so I'll suffer in the flesh, so that sin loses its power over me. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I choose to deny myself and take up my cross and follow you. Lord, I choose to get on your potter's wheel. You, the potter, you do all the work, Lord. I'm just the clay, and the clay just rests on the potter's wheel. The clay lives in a state of rest. And Lord, remind me that when I lose my rest, I fell off the potter's wheel. And I've got the wrong yoke on my neck. In Jesus' name. And Lord, this day, Lord, I lift my hands to heaven, and I ask you to yoke my neck with the yoke of Jesus. That's light and easy. You'll teach me everything I need to know. Your burden is light, and your load is easy. Now, Lord, I receive your yoke as I yield my life 100% to you without any reservations in the name, power, blood, and authority of Jesus. Now, we break the power of those yokes in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we thank you that the yoke is broken because of fatness. Father, I send forth your mighty resurrection power into the lives of every person that's listening to me now. In Jesus' name, I bless you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. Bless you, mighty God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your yoke. That's light and easy. I break the power of neck problems, scoliosis. I command scoliosis and neck problems, pain in the neck. I command restrictions in the neck to go. I break soul ties now, pray. I break soul ties with every person that has yoked me up in a ritual, yoked me up through a religion, yoked me up through a fraternity, through a cult, through any person. I break soul ties with every person that has controlled me. I break the power of fear of control. I call back my soul and spirit from each person that's controlled me in the name of Jesus. Cleansed, sanctified, and made whole by the blood of Jesus, and I send back their souls and spirits to them. And when I say their spirits, I'm not talking about the human spirit. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the human spirit. Every one of you were born with a human spirit. So in the name of Jesus, I send back their human spirits back to them. In Jesus' name, I free their necks, I take the sword of the Spirit, and I cut off every yoke that's not the yoke of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, mighty God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bring down your kingdom in the name of Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. When you feel a release, pray with me. I break the power of fear, doubt, unbelief, depression, discouragement, hopelessness, despair. I command you to go now in Jesus' name. Hatred, variance, strife, resentment, bitterness, anger. In Jesus' name, you have to go. Antichrist spirits, Ahab, Jezebel, you have to go. Pride, arrogance, boastfulness, haughtiness, go now in Jesus' name. We break your power, unbelief and doubt, lies and lies. Go now. All lies have to go. All unbelief has to go. All mind control, we break it. We break all mind control in the name of Jesus. We break witchcraft. We break the power of rebellion. We break the power of Python. We break the power of Leviathan. You come out now in Jesus' name. We break your power in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of Catholicism, go now. We break the yokes of the priest, the yokes of the Pope in the name of Jesus. You have to go now in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. We can break the power of adultery, of fornication. In Jesus' name, perversion, perverseness, scoliosis, go now. Cancer, sickness, distress, disease, go now. Spirit of death, we break the power of death over every person. In Jesus' name. Unrest, we break your power. Striving, fretting, stewing, go now in Jesus' name. All stress, glaucoma, go now in Jesus' name. Macular degeneration, go now in Jesus' name. We say macular regenerate in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Worthy are you. Thank you that you inhabit our praises. Praise you, Lord. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lord, fill me with love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. And Lord, remind me that when I lose my rest, I have a system problem. For Lord, you will keep me in perfect peace when my mind is stayed upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. And Lord, we thank you for the food we're about to receive. We ask you to bless it, purify it, sanctify it. We thank you for it. We thank you for Rick and all those in the kitchen that have helped. We thank you for Patty and Kevin and Linda. Lord, we thank you for Rick and Crystal and all the children. We thank you for everyone here. And Lord, thank you that we're going to go home with a neck that's freer because you are controlling us, Lord. I break the power of witchcraft control, and I command you to leave every person in this room in Jesus' name. And let me tell you, do not let people control you. If you still have fear of man, you need to get over that because it brings a snare, keeps you in bondage. Amen? Bless you. I love you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.